So, Psalm 46.
God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not be afraid when earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea.
Those waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day.
Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall.
He lifts his voice and the earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes the wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear.
He burns the shields with fire.
He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Do sit down. And Ben, we look forward to opening up this word. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you here this morning. Lovely weather outside. Let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Father, we thank you that we can meet together this morning. We can hear your word. Father, we are not worthy enough to explain it fully or understand it fully, but you are gracious enough to help us understand what we need to understand. Pray that this morning our hearts might be open, our ears might be open, that your spirit might be working within us. So change us to make us more like Christ as we hear from Psalm 46. Amen. I wonder if you've been keeping up with the news this week. The story of Whaley Bridge that's been under threat from Toddbrook Reservoir and the dam that's under threat of collapse. There's around 1,500 people who were forced to evacuate their homes to keep them out of the possible flood zone. That's 1,500 people who've had to take refuge in places not their own, uncertain of when they might be able to come back home. Maybe you were taking refuge yesterday with all the wind that was blowing around. And those are just a couple of examples of troubles that we can face in life. But where do we go when we face trouble? Who or what do we turn to? Well, what we've got in Psalm 46 today is a psalm that teaches us that God is who we can take refuge in, a God who is sovereign over all earthly events, and a God who calls us to be still in the middle of life. If you're here this morning and you don't know about God or the refuge he provides, then I encourage you to listen well, to hear what God offers and to see if it's of infinitely more value than what the world offers. So let's get stuck into today's passage and learn a bit more about God. I've broken this psalm up into three sections. So verses 1 to 3, take spiritual refuge in God. Verses 4 and 5, look forward to physical refuge with God, and verses 6 to 11, be still. So look with me in your Bibles at verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Now, the psalmist starts here with a statement of who God is. He is our refuge, our strength, and ever-present help in trouble. That's an amazing truth, and we could spend a couple of hours on that verse alone. Don't worry, I'm not going to. But if you're in need of a memory verse, then this is a great one to memorize and bring to mind whenever you need to. It's a triple truth in one verse. God is our refuge, God is our strength, and God is our ever-present help. So let's look. What is a refuge? And what do we need refuge from? A refuge is a place of safety and security somewhere where people go to escape or to hide from trouble or difficulty. Now that's the dictionary definition. It can be a physical refuge, such as a place, or a spiritual refuge, like a quiet place or a piece of music that maybe calms your mind. And while those are good and correct, they are nowhere good enough to describe our God. If God is just someone we go to for safety, then what makes him different to any other kind of refuge? What makes him different to seeking safety and comfort in our spouse, in our family, in success, in comfort, music, meditation, or yoga? But if you are seeking refuge, then you're seeking refuge from something. So let's have a look at what God is our refuge from. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. These two verses tell us that even though the earth gives way, even though the mountains fall, the waters rage and the mountains quake, we will not fear if God is our spiritual refuge. Tim. Don't know if you can see that. That's a landslide and an earthquake that have happened. Now, landslides, earthquakes, mountains falling and raging seas aren't things that we usually face in South Cambridge. There isn't a sea nearby. I can't really find a mountain nearby. But what we know is that if these things did happen, we have a God who we can seek refuge in. The psalmist here is trying to illustrate to us just how immense and huge a refuge our God is by using the imagery of a vast, wild, uncontrollable forces that nobody can do anything about. So what is God telling us about the troubles we face in our own lives today, in the here and now, in South Cambridge, where there aren't mountains, raging seas, and we're unlikely to get landslides and earthquakes? He is telling us through this psalm that God is our refuge in all our troubles. In our lack of sleep, God is our refuge. In illness, God is our refuge. In a difficult marriage, God is our refuge. With disobedient children, God is our refuge. In depression, in financial or employment uncertainties, God is our refuge. We can go to him because he will be our refuge. He will be our strength and he will be our help in all of those troubles. So now we've seen what we seek refuge from. Let's go back to the earlier question and see what the refuge God offers is like. Does it mean that if we seek refuge in God that all of our troubles will disappear? Are we guaranteed a physical refuge to escape our troubles now? Will our illnesses go? Will our bank accounts be full? Will our marriage be bliss? Will our children be obedient? Clearly not. God's people and faithful believers throughout the Bible suffered terrible things. A nation was brought into slavery in Exodus. The Apostle Paul suffered a long-term thorn in his flesh, and Job lost all of his family and possessions. In the world today, we are not promised a physical refuge to escape our troubles now. And we are promised that we will also face troubles. But from God's word, we know two things. One, that the troubles have a purpose, and two, that we have a spiritual refuge in God. From elsewhere in the Bible, we know that we have troubles and trials so that we become more like Jesus. And what today's psalm tells us is that we do have the promise of God as our refuge, both spiritual and physical. Physical refuge to come, as we will see in verses 4 and 5, and spiritual refuge now, which has a result in we do not fear, as we saw in verse 2. We do not need to fear anything, because we will have a God who will provide refuge to our soul, who will calm our worries, and who offers us strength to keep going. That's an easy thing to say. It's a much harder thing to put into practice. Which is why it's an immense comfort that we have a God who is our strength. When times are hard and we're struggling in life, God gives us the strength to keep going. Now, personally, time's been hard for the past few months with a newborn baby, two very energetic children, and a lot of pressure at work. I've shed tears at times, and I've struggled under my own strength. And it's only because of God's strength through me that I can keep going. Because my strength is never enough. That certain hope of a physical refuge to come is my anchor that keeps me going today. The refuges of this world are temporary, and they are reliant on our own strength and our own self-worth. And none of those will last, but God's refuge will last forever. What that also means is that if someone comes to you and tells you that believing in Jesus means all your difficulties will end, that you'll be prosperous, you'll be blessed now, then that's a lie. It's a false gospel telling you to seek your safety and your security in the here and now. The truth is, if you believe in Jesus, you will face difficulties in life now, but your eternity is secure. We will be safe with God, even if the waters rage, the mountains fall, and the earth gives way. God is our spiritual refuge now and our physical refuge in eternity. So take refuge in God. The week before last, while we were up in Keswick, we went for a walk. It started out sunny and it was all going very well until the rain started. We didn't have our raincoats. We were carrying our 4-month-old in a carrier without anything waterproof for him either. So we had to find refuge. We found refuge under some trees, which gave us a physical refuge from the rain. Now, most of you are probably thinking, why on earth didn't we take waterproofs with us on a walk in the Lake District? But despite my lack of planning ahead, it's a reminder that there are times in our lives when we do look for a physical refuge. We looked for some shelter so that we can be more comfortable, feel more safe. So let's look at our second point now. Let's look at the physical refuge that we have to come. Let's see how the psalmist describes it and how it's so much better than sheltering under trees in the rain. So look with me at verses 4 and 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. So in these verses, the psalmist describes what this physical refuge is like. It is God's city with a river, with streams, where God lives and will not fall in battle. It won't ever be conquered. A river runs through it and its streams make the city glad. Now this is not the water that roars and foams like in verse 3. It makes the city glad. Now initially we could be thinking this city is the city of Jerusalem, which was traditionally known as God's city, where the temple was and where God dwelt. The city in this psalm is also a city that will not fall, and that gives us a clue that it's not Jerusalem that the psalmist is talking about. Jerusalem fell to the Romans in 70 AD and the temple was destroyed. The city of God being described in this psalm is the holy city, Zion, God's dwelling place, heaven. It's a place also described elsewhere in the Bible. If you look at right at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, the city of God, the new heaven, has a river flowing through it, and it never falls. It will never be conquered. It is an eternal city. So what the psalmist is saying in these verses is the physical refuge we look forward to is heaven. It's not a place we go to now that we can physically run to when troubles come, but it is a physical place, and it is a place we can look forward to, where people are glad, where God lives, and where troubles no longer exist. We have a God who offers us spiritual refuge now with the certainty of an eternal physical refuge to come. We are saved from despairing in the struggles of life now because we have something to look forward to, the eternity of heaven. And we are only able to look forward to heaven because we've been given it. We've been offered it. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection paid the price so that the penalty of our sins is dealt with and so that we can receive the promise of heaven, God's physical refuge. We can look forward to heaven regardless of the circumstances we face now. If we rely on the refuges of this world, We're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, wishing for an end to the difficult circumstances we face. But if we have God as our refuge, we know the end. We know what it will be like. God tells us what heaven is like in his word through the Bible. And this psalm gives us just a small glimpse of that this morning. If we are enjoying the good things in life, if we are enjoying God, then we can be grateful for what that tiny taste of heaven is like. If we are struggling in life, and we're struggling to keep going, then we can look ahead to heaven to come, where there will be no more pain, tears, or struggles. Even if the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, even if all of that happens, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. What else about this city, this place that God has for us? It's a place where God dwells. God is there in heaven, and it's a place that will not fall. It's permanent, and it's immune to the powers, the schemes, and the threats of the world today. Whether it's a powerful force of nature, like the earthquake, whether it's a government-backed ban of speaking the gospel, the gradual shift of culture away from biblical truths, or even a whole church denomination aligning itself with society rather than God's word, heaven remains and God stays faithful to his people. Nothing can move it. Nothing can detract from it. Nothing can change it because God dwells in it. It's a place we can look forward to whatever situation we face. So rather than resenting or minimizing or ignoring the troubles that come our way, we can be encouraged to face them head on, knowing God is our refuge, he will keep us safe forever, and that he is our strength. He is there with us while we persevere. We can look forward to heaven as our eternal physical refuge, knowing that God has kept it for us and will keep us for it. And if that wasn't enough, let's have a look at verses 6 to 11, where we learn even more about God's character. And all we can do in light of that is be still. Let me read verses 6 to 11. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now these verses describe the state of the world as it is now, as it will be, and God's power over it. Look at the start of verse 6. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but the world is always in uproar. Since the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, there's been conflict and animosity between people. It's so much easier to fall out with someone that you disagree with rather than to stay on good terms with them. Now, back when this psalm was written, there were wars over the land and over the nations. It's the same today. If we look outwards at the world around us, there have been constant conflicts, repeated political upheavals and movements for thousands of years. Our nation is currently split in two over Brexit. We live in this world of disorder, uncertainty and confusion. Looking inwards at ourselves, our lives are equally chaotic, with too much to do and too little time to do it. Think about the troubles or difficulties that you are seeking refuge from at the moment. Maybe family, job, money, or illness. How many of us here feel like today we're spinning too many plates to be able to keep them all going at once? Is the struggle you're facing feeling like you've got too many to keep going? Or are you also afraid of what might happen if just one of those plates drops and breaks? Well, look at verse 2. Remember, we will not fear, because God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in time of trouble. And what we see in verses 6 to 11 are two things happen. Firstly, God's action. And secondly, our response. Look at the second half of verse 6 to see God's action. God lifts his voice and the earth melts. All God needs to do is speak and everything disappears. Reminds me a little bit of Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet and the Avengers just melting away. All God needs to do is speak and everything disappears. This looks forward to when Jesus comes again. The former things will be no more, and God will make a new heaven and a new earth for his people to dwell in. How do we know he can do this? Look at verses 8 and 9 to see just how powerful and sovereign he is. He has brought desolations on the earth, destruction to his enemies, by the 10 plagues in Egypt, by the defeat of nations in the land of Canaan. Jericho was completely destroyed by his people walking around it. He stops wars to the end of the earth, the bow is broken, the spear is shattered, and the shields are burned. War will cease forever when Jesus comes again. The immense power God has in bringing things to an end is mind-blowing. So what are we to do in response to all of this? Among the chaos, the uproar, the uncertainty, the destruction in the world around us, and in our own hearts and minds. Look with me at verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In light of what we've seen in the rest of this psalm, there's nothing we can do but to be still and praise God. We are to be still in awe of God, who is our refuge now and in eternity to come. God who is sovereign over all the earth. God who only needs to speak to make the earth melt. It's also a call to be still in the troubles we face. A reminder that even though our lives are busy, they are chaotic, God is our refuge. We can rest in him. Maybe one challenge this morning is to make time to be still in your life. To make space to reflect on who God is, what he's done for you through Christ, and the refuge he provides and the power he holds, which will help you to see the circumstances you face from that eternal perspective. So for anyone here this morning who's ever found life hard, if you're finding life hard right now, or for when you come across hard times in the future, find some time to read Psalm 46 in those times. When the raging waves of life crash around us, when the world around us is in uproar, when our hearts are anxious, we have a spiritual refuge in God. We can look forward to the physical refuge of heaven, and the certain hope of that keeps us going now. The certain hope, the certain promise of heaven that has been won for us by Christ through his death, through his resurrection, meaning we can be brought into God's family, into his kingdom, and into his city. God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in time of trouble. My sincere hope and prayer this morning is that that truth will stay with you today and forever. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are a refuge, you are our strength, and you are our ever-present help in trouble. Father, thank you for that wonderful truth this morning that we can hold on to, we can keep going back to. Pray that we would rely on your strength, not try and do things under our own strength. Pray that we would be able to face the difficulties in life, knowing that you are there with us, helping us, and keeping us going. Amen. Now, if that's given you some things to think about, or if you've got any questions, there'll be a microphone going around, so please put your hand up. Do ask any questions or any comments or encouragements you may have. Equally, if there's things you don't want to say out loud or in public, please can ask me afterwards. And do encourage each other with these truths after the service. Caroline.
Thanks so much, Ben. I think it's really encouraging to remember that that distinction between it being about now and that kind of prosperity gospel that we sometimes hear from outside of our church, and that we maybe hear in our own hearts sometimes as well, and that it's about focusing on what he's promised us in heaven. But and I guess also part of that distinction is that it says that in verse 10, our hope is that he will be exalted. And sometimes I find that helpful to remember, rather than it, quite often my hope actually is that I will be exalted. You know, and so yeah. That's the same distinction probably in our hearts. Can I ask about verse 4? It's only because it just reminded me of that bit. It's a bit in Ezekiel, isn't it? There's a vision about a river coming from the temple, and there's food either side of it, and the plants grow, and it's a hugely symbolic thing. And I just wondered, is there something particular about this river? Do you want to tell me more about that? It just felt very meaningful to me, and it felt like it was an analogy that I've seen in other places, but I don't know.
You get imagery of rivers throughout the Bible. So there's a river in the Garden of Eden as well. Yeah. Or there's four rivers, I think, in the Garden of Eden that you read in Genesis 2. And so the idea of rivers, the idea of water, the water of life. I think there's a passage in John as well where Jesus talks about the river of life or the water of life. And water is very visual, very very changeable as well. You can have these storms and these raging, foaming seas that the psalmist talks about here. And then we have very calm, life-bringing water that we see in Genesis and Revelation and Ezekiel in the Psalms throughout the Bible. And we also get the storm that Jesus stopped with his disciples on the boat going across the lake. There was a huge storm, and Jesus got up and said, "Be still," and it all just went flat. So there's that imagery running through the whole Bible, that God is in control of these forces, but also that the kind of water is kind of a source of life imagery that is throughout. And it's important to read on and just... when those images keep coming up through the Bible, when we read about them, we can draw those out and say, where else does God talk about water? And what does it mean? Thank you. Katrina.
I always struggle with the idea of doing things in God's strength and not my own, and what that really actually means practically. It's something I think a lot of people say. I say it too, and I feel I have a very sort of shaky grasp on what that actually looks like. And I just wondered if you could say a bit more, or maybe give an example yourself of what that might look like.
So it's a very easy thing to say, isn't it? I'm relying on God's strength. Then the rubber hits the road when we are in difficulties. How we respond in those difficulties are an indication of whether we are relying on God's strength or not. If somebody is kind of doing this British stiff upper lip and just trying to plod on and get through without really being honest and open about the difficulties they face, then potentially is an indication that we're not relying on God. Equally, those difficulties we face that we can't really express and we can't really tell people about. So we take them to God in prayer. I think prayer is the first thing that we go to. We pray things like, "God, there's no way I can get out of this situation by myself. There's no way I can get through this situation by myself. My mind is anxious, my mind is going chaotic, and I can't see the way forward. Help me to persevere, help me to keep going." And if we are going back to God's word, if we're going back to passages like Psalm 46, we are repeating those truths to ourselves, and we are being encouraged by those truths. And rather than focusing in on the here and now, we can see the here and now, knowing that there's an end, knowing that there's heaven ahead of us. So prayer would be, I think, the main answer. But encouragement as well to talk to each other about it. Obviously, God's not one. God is three in one. God is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. He's in communion with himself. He's created his church. He's created his church family to be in communion with him and with each other. So let's talk to each other about these things. Let's encourage each other. Let's pray for each other to help us persevere through. And there may be practical things that we can help each other with that we can't help ourselves with. But primarily, spiritual prayer, going to God's word, is important. Oh, sorry, one more call.
Yeah, this is just thinking about when things get really tough. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about his difficult times briefly. He had in 1 Corinthians 2 as well. This is verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." So I think it's just to say that, you know, sometimes life can get really, really hard. And it did for Paul here. And he realizes ultimately that God raised, you know, we have a resurrection hope. That is our, you know, as you said, the ultimate refuge, that because of what Christ has won for us, we have a place in heaven. So, I mean, obviously we need to help each other and support each other, but I'm just saying that if it can get really bad, and I mean, I haven't experienced what Paul has experienced, but just wanted to have that sort of reality check from Paul.
Yeah, sometimes we go and see an end. Sometimes we are feeling so low, so down, so squashed that, as Paul says, we despair of life itself. But it's an encouragement that Paul was pointed to rely not on himself, but on God. Thank you. I think we have Jeff for one more, and then I think we need to move on.
Just a quick observation. Verses 7 and 11 are identical, and usually in Scripture where you have a repetition of something, it's actually saying this is really important. I find that a great encouragement and a reassurance. It says, "The Lord Almighty is with us." We might be going through problems with relationships, work, financial problems, health problems, and we may not realise that God's actually with us. This is a statement. He is with us.
Yep.
And that he is our fortress. So I find that very reassuring, and hopefully others who are going through difficult times in life will also find that a reassurance, but also an encouragement as we live a life of faith in the modern world. Thank you.
Thank you.